the time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA and AOACAGAPALASLASLAACRRRLBA. Lip Bomb Anonymous.
SBA. The Small Business Administration.
Yeah, we don't speak very well for them either.
Of course, neither do they.
Yeah. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with the Magic Maker.
From Ronco. Shelley.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Feeling
blood
better, Bruce?
Going back up. If you heard the last show, you're probably not listening now, so we don't need to worry about it. You're clearly not listening to this.
If you heard the last show and you're still here, thanks.
You know who will be here? Sarah, because she didn't hear us record this show, so she's going to listen for sure.
She listens anyway.
We have one listener.
What are we up to now, you think?
Four.
Listeners.
Four.
No, maybe like 10 or 11.
Really?
Awesome.
Yeah.
They just listen like 740 times a week each?
No, I mean, I figure we've got 103 people on the Recovery 101 Facebook group, and I figure at least 10% of them must listen to the show, so it's got to be 10 or 11 people.
Some of them just go on there to bitch?
Some of them were added by Bruce or I and may not even know they're in the group.
I was adding up the potential downloads for the next 12 months, and I have often said that it's that I thought we were going to go up to about 2.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
When I added up and looked the other day, that could possibly be as high as 3.2 million.
Mm.
Which...
Up until the last show.
Up until, yeah.
Well, but you know what's weird when I think about that?
I like the last
show.
That's
a damn lot of downloads.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
That's a grip.
It is.
Agrippa.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen when you get rid of your 600 computers that you download the show from every day?
What is that? What is that? we've got a server array. A server.
Yeah.
It's like, we can't talk about other shows. There is a show on Podomatic that has going on 4 million downloads of like a 50 second.
Yeah, clip. We know.
Yes, I know. It frosts your cookies.
Oh, my God.
We know.
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Mine is coming in high, isn't it?
Yes. You sound like you get, like, temporarily castrated.
Yeah.
Okay. In Alameda.
Boxers instead of briefs.
What?
Boxers instead of briefs.
Oh, yes. That
Commando.
Would help.
I know.
Instead of anything.
In Alameda, California. Got some Harold Camping news.
Oh, the guy.
The guy, the doomsday radio preacher.
The Crapcher.
Yes, the Crapcher. He sparked international media attention by predicting the end of the world last month has been hospitalized after suffering a stroke.
Oh, well, apparently for him, it is going to be the end of the world. That's kind of... What's the word?
Poetic justice?
Yeah.
Well, all right, then.
Took all those people's stuff. I don't get about those guys. They're saying the end of the world, but they have no problem taking your donation. Like, what the hell would they do with it? Because they don't think they're going to be here.
That's true. There are people that gave their entire life savings to that church.
Yeah. And what are you going to do it? What are you going to use it for if you're not going to be here?
If you don't get picked, you can come hang out with me because I'm sure I'm hanging out here.
Yeah.
Okay. In Birmingham, Alabama.
Alabama.
FEMA is apparently in hot water.
Uh-oh.
Well, maybe they're not in hot water. They're being criticized. Because apparently quite a few people in that area where there was a tornado in April, well, before April, their houses were completely destroyed. And FEMA sent them letters saying that they couldn't get grants because there was insubstantial damage. Now, the house, I saw pictures of these houses. They're foundations. There is no house. And they're getting letters back from FEMA that say that there was insubstantial damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good.
You know what FEMA's job is?
What?
To provide 30 days of temporary housing for a renter and 90 days of temporary housing for an owner of a house. That's it.
Then where are these grants coming from?
HUD.
So then why is FEMA in trouble if it's a HUD issue?
Because FEMA's the punching bag.
Because people are directing it at the wrong...
Yeah, FEMA's the punching bag.
Yeah, you know what? That's true. Now,
Federal Emergency Management.
Well, you know what? And it's like, now I understand, like, when FEMA was taking some damage, like, when New Orleans was, like,
Hurricane Katrina.
You know what? I could see that because there was people that were in, you know, the Superdome or whatever where there was no nothing. I could see that. But when you're going, like, where's my money for my house? That's not a FEMA thing, right? At all.
Even the Superdome thing wasn't a FEMA thing because the governor has to request federal aid before the federal government can come in. And if the governor,
right, he didn't
and if the governor,
it,
if
right?
she disappears after the hurricane and during the hurricane, it's hard for the federal government to come in until they're requested by the governor's office.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So we're talking about.
See, there's more of this story than we knew.
What we're talking yeah. about is angst being thrown at the wrong yeah. group.
Yep.
Yeah, all right, then. Well, it's good to have that cleared up. Now, this next story, I'm hoping you guys will make will make hay with this.
I'm sure we will, if because you're thinking we will.
There is a group of gentlemen out there.
Woof.
Who,
woof,
well,
yeah.
they would like to woof. they need some serious help. They need to get laid stat. Like, we need to have emergency hookers on standby.
That's like for every guy all the time.
No, these guys need it bad.
What happened, Shelley?
They're called bronies. And they are fans, adult male fans of the show My Little Pony.
No way.
Yes way. And I thought at first when I saw the blurb on FARC, I thought this has got to be an Onion thing. This can't be real. So I Googled it. It's real. There are guys, there are whole websites out there with these guys posting, and they cuss, and they talk like guys and everything, and they're talking about these My Little Pony characters like they're real, and they collect the little dolls, and they're shopping the pink aisle at Toys R Us. I mean, there's something seriously wrong.
Get some hookers stat.
See, I told you.
And not furries. Are these like furries
no,
or something?
No, they're just...
We you ever heard to, of that before?
We just need to send them a little pony.
Yeah, have you ever heard of those guys before, furries?
Yes.
They're
they
like all...
Dressed up like animals and stuff.
Yeah. My Little Pony?
My Little Pony.
Wow.
And they're called bronies.
Tony the Pony.
Wow. You know what's really scary about that? Yeah, you know me. I'm like Mr. Internet Junkie, Mr. YouTube Junkie. I don't even care to look that up. You know? You're like you can go see their website, the bronies. I'm like,
nah,
I don't even really want to.
Yeah, no thanks.
There's some people that are so out there that I don't even care to help them come back.
There are some people beyond help.
Wow.
We thought anybody could be helped.
Yeah.
You just found the spot where I not only do I care to help them, guys, you're on your own.
You know, not only do I not care to help them, I might even be in favor of them being taken out by someone.
Can I see your torch,
you know,
Bruce?
Because you know what? That's an entire group of people that are using up the water supply.
To watch My Little Pony every night.
To watch My Little Pony. It's like, dude, really? Okay, bronies.
Yeah, and on the one website, the guy was posting, like, an analysis of the plot and the characters. And this is a show for six-year-old girls.
My Little Pony.
Yes.
Wow. I wish someone going and pwn them.
In Tempe, Arizona.
Oh!
College town.
You know what? Sort of my hometown. Mesa was the county hospital there, but...
Well, there's a restaurant called Boulders on Broadway. It serves an assortment of various breakfast dishes.
You ever been there, Mark?
I'm familiar with it.
One of the... Bruce will like this dish. They have a dish on their menu called the Chuck Norris Scramble that is basically a mix of all the meats that they have on their menu.
Okay.
They use 14 eggs.
Wow, that's a lot of eggs.
A loaf of bread.
They also have something called the Hungover Man's Best Friend, which is a very greasy breakfast hot dog. But the centerpiece of their breakfast menu...
Why would that be?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering.
I don't know.
Because they ran out of cold pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
The centerpiece of their breakfast menu, however, is called the Pabst Blueberry Ribbon Pancake, which is a 14-inch mammoth pancake made with a full can of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
Just doesn't sound real appealing.
It
to
doesn't
me.
Sound really good, but apparently it's a hit. A lot of people like it, although most people can't get through it because it's huge. They said it gives the pancake a pleasant cornmeal texture and a yeasty sourdough taste.
I can believe that.
Now, Mark, do you know where have you ever been to the Red Hill Cafe?
Yep.
We go to this restaurant one time. These guys do not have a problem with portions. I go into this place, and I order pancakes and eggs, and it's also hash browns and stuff. And I'm hungry, right?
So you're not that hungry.
So I say, bring me I'll have an oatmeal, too. And the girl looks at me, and she goes, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. First of all, they bring me the oatmeal, and this thing looks like a bucket. I mean, this thing's like a giant bowl. And I notice the table next to me is getting their pancakes, and it's like three pancakes like the size of the plate. And I'm eating this thing that's got to be equal to about three or four bowls of oatmeal.
Yeah.
And then it's like three eggs and like four things of bacon and four sausage and... hash browns, it was a grip of food.
Yeah.
If you're in California, you're out near Upland Rancho Cucamonga, the Red Hill Cafe, you can only get them for breakfast and lunch, I believe.
Yeah.
There's always people waiting outside to get in.
Yep.
Totally worth it.
Right next door is the Red Hill Smokehouse.
Really?
Really.
I didn't know that.
Might want to swing by sometime.
Of course, you know, when I was out
pretty
there...
Pretty darn fine stuff.
Last time I was... Oh, no, I must have been having cigars. I'm going to have to check it out. Insert Red House Smokehouse ad
no,
here.
No, I'm talking smokehouse as in smoked foods.
Oh.
Ribs.
Oh, really?
Brisket.
Is it owned by the same guys?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Really good. Good stuff, man.
As we've talked 11 minutes on something that has nothing to do with boozy news. Oh, okay, go ahead, Shelly.
That's all right. In Illinois... A Cook County judge has set bail at $50,000 for a man charged with displaying a handgun to a convenience store clerk who refused to give him 99 cents. He went into the convenience store, demanded at gunpoint 99 cents. The guy wouldn't give it to him, so he left the store when another customer came in, which allowed the store clerk to lock the doors. And then he stood outside and pounded on the windows demanding his 99 cents.
Is this like some psycho thing, like he didn't get the right change earlier or something?
No, it doesn't say that. It just says he went in with a gun and demanded 99 cents. Police were notified, and then they found him a block away. They found 3 grams of methamphetamine in his possession.
Wow.
So he was probably a little bit tweaked. But 99 cents, where do you come up with that figure? Why not just ask for a dollar?
Why not just ask for 100?
He wasn't owed a dollar. He was an honest guy. That's why I'm on his side.
There's something weird. There's something unusually weird about that.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't say in the story.
Yeah, but there's some kind of weird justification in this guy's mind. Like, he got burnt for 99 cents a day before, and he's just a little over the top with asking for it back with the gun.
I would think so.
Well.
In Palm Harbor.
Florida!
Bruce is back.
Florida. I like that one better.
Florida. Fire officials say a Bananas Foster dessert caught fire at the restaurant, and 4 people were burned, including the woman who had severe injuries.
Oh,
wow.
That's sad.
Poured 151 onto the dessert and ignited it.
Well, that's the first problem.
Splashed onto 4 customers.
Ooh.
That's the first problem. You don't use 151 for Bananas Foster.
No, you don't.
What do you use?
Use brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Now,
and creme de banana.
What's the alcohol content on brandy though? I mean, does it?
It burns.
But it doesn't burn like real spectacularly, right? I mean, it like
depends what
burns
you do.
Because 151 burns fast. Everclear burns really fast.
And you know this from experience?
Absolutely.
I was trying to impress a girl about 30 years ago on a date. So had the captain make bananas Foster, and I told the guy if he could make the flame hit the ceiling, I'd give him a $100 tip.
Uh-oh.
There was a scorch mark the size of a pan.
Wow.
So.
That's funny.
If you ever, you know, again, my YTA obsession, YouTube Anonymous obsession, there's lots of videos of guys lighting themselves on fire trying to take flaming straight shots of 151. Lots of them.
That's just
stupid.
They
go to do this, they always, without fail, these guys miss their mouth with some of it, and they've just, like, their whole face is, like, on fire.
Yeah.
Fortunately,
it burns off
most
quickly.
Of it is the vapor burning, yeah. So you're not torching the skin too much, but still.
Yeah. But 151 and Bananas Foster, those people didn't know how to make Bananas Foster. Don't order at that restaurant.
Well, it didn't say the name of the restaurant in the story, so we can't do a PSA on that.
Okay.
What? Oh, that's what you want.
Yeah.
In Vancouver, Washington?
Been there many times.
Neighbors helped the police uncover a marijuana growing operation last Friday. The 1,600 plants valued at $2.4 Woo! Million dollars were found in the house. Every room was dedicated to growing marijuana. But the neighbors were alerted to something being wrong in the house.
Because all their electric bills were like $700.
Yeah, they were stealing power.
Well, no, but, yeah.
You'd have to
But
be.
That wasn't the only, that wasn't the main tip-off for the neighbor next door. The big tip-off and the reason why she called the police was because she noticed mold growing under the eaves. And apparently this is a neighborhood where everybody keeps their house up really nice.
Ah.
And she thought it was very strange for the people next door when she didn't see people going out in and out a lot. But she did notice the mold, and she thought that was odd, so she called the police, and they started a surveillance and realized there was something going on. And they
I thought she was going to the local grocery store to buy things to put in her kids' lunches, and there was no kind of munchies at all.
Yeah, really, yeah, no Cheetos.
All the ho-hos were gone.
There's no zingers, there's no ho-hos, there's no Twinkies, there's no chips.
You know, note to marijuana-growing people, if you steal power from all the neighbors,
you're going to get caught.
If you have six neighbors on the block that power bills are all $600 and yours is $26, you are the guy stealing the power.
Yeah.
I knew guys when I was in college that grew weed and ran stuff all the time, and they ran a generator. It was a small, like, it wasn't like a big generator. It didn't require a lot, and they would run this generator, and it would power all the lights and stuff in the basement.
Welcome to Tips for Growing Dope.
Well, let me tell you the kind of generator you'd like to get. It's the Honda 5-1. 5 horsepower.
Really quick last blurb. We reported on the show a while back that Willie Nelson was going to get off his marijuana charge by singing for the judge.
Oh, yeah, a party or something, right?
He did end up having to pay a $500 fine, and he will be on probation for 30 days.
Oh, wham.
Baby, I didn't love you.
Yeah, that's what he got.
Oh, go, Shelly.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Shelly does a hell of a Willie Nelson impersonation.
Anymore.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, come on.
I'm not doing
it. Just give us just a little bit.
And that's the end of the boozy news. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101.
Welcome back.
That was a really long pause.
Your dreams or your ticket out?
Shelley. Welcome back.
To that same old place that you laughed about.
I don't have to do any of it because you guys do it all.
No, now you got a line right there.
I don't know the next line.
Okay, then let's talk about something else.
Yeah, what's the topic?
I don't know. You've got them all in front of you.
I thought you had one.
Getting unstuck?
Yes, getting unstuck.
Getting unstuck. Don't drink or use no matter what. Here's the lead out music, bye. We do that for every single show.
Well, we know your blood sugar is going up, so you actually have to participate.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, actually, listenership may have gone up after the last show because you couldn't even hear me last year. I didn't do anything.
Bruce was
like, I sat around like
Bruce was melting into his chair.
You know what the strange thing about that is? Low blood sugar. To get up on a rant, but when I was young, they used to have cards that you could get from your doctor's office that would say, "I'm not drunk. I may be having a low blood sugar associated with my diabetes." And I used to carry that card with me religiously.
While you were drinking?
Because, like, if I'm going to get arrested, I'm going to show them this card. So even if I test and I'm a little drunk, I want them to think it's low blood sugar no matter what.
Well, you get enough alcohol sugar in you and maybe have really high blood sugar.
Well, you know what? I worried,
that's not true, actually.
You know what? I worried about this one time. I thought, what if I'm somewhere, you know, I don't know what the situation would be, but I'm somewhere, right? And I have a low blood sugar reaction, and there's no juice or there's no food, and someone's got a six-pack of beer, because beer's got 100-and-something calories per beer. What would I do?
You wouldn't drink the beer because you'd go even lower.
Really?
We were taught when Connor was first diagnosed with diabetes, we were taught in our diabetes education class that alcohol actually creates a paradoxical effect. You're taking in carbohydrates, but the alcohol causes your body to not recognize them, basically.
So in other words,
actually,
if you want to
keep
your blood sugar in line, you should just get hammered all the time?
Well, no.
Awesome. Not only have I learned how to grow weed.
They recommended that when Connor was of a, you know, at some point when Connor was of age, that we need to teach him to eat if he's going to go out and have a drink.
Sweet. Okay, so
back to the
topic.
Subject. Yeah.
What
topic, please?
How do you want to approach it?
Well, we've done shows before on how to not get stuck, but everybody at some point gets stuck.
True.
What do you do to get unstuck? It's not a real, I mean, this isn't like a real brain teaser. It's a pretty basic topic, but it's pretty basic for recovery, too. So, Bruce, if you or one of your sponsees, of course, because you rarely get stuck.
Not usually, yeah.
What would you recommend they do to get unstuck?
I have a sponsee that might be stuck right now because I've sent him some text messages. I haven't seen him in a couple of weeks. And he goes to meetings all the time, and all of a sudden, I haven't seen him in a while. And, you know, normally what I would tell people is probably the best thing that I could tell someone that's stuck is you need to do things that you don't want to do. Because a lot of people that, or at least for me personally, a lot of times when I feel like I'm stuck, I'm like, you know, like if I'm feeling lackadaisical or I'm feeling like everything's okay and I'm like, I don't want to go to that meeting today. I should probably make myself go because I get in like a rut where everything seems it's okay. I don't really feel like doing something and I should really be doing it and I need to make myself do it. So I would probably tell guys that my sponsor that if they feel like they're stuck in a situation, they need to work on some other stuff, and they need to go to some meetings. They need to get involved with some people in the program and do the things that they don't feel like they want to do.
Yep.
How is that for a program?
That's good. I will tell you that a few months ago, I felt stuck, and I started going to different meetings.
Yeah, that's always good.
And that was really good. But I've got a sponsee right now who's stuck, And about a couple months ago, I told him that he should really be working he just took a year cake, so he hasn't been doing anything other than counting days. So I told him, you know, you need to work the first three steps on a daily basis. And I asked him a week later, do you work the first three steps every day? Well, not really. And he's having some problems. So Then I called him every day, which I rarely do with sponsees. But I called him every day for a week.
You're not really a sponsee chaser.
Not at all. But I called him up and said, "Did you work First Three Steps today?" "No." "Okay, let's do it now." You know, and so we worked First Three Steps every day. He said, "Okay, yeah, I'm working the First Three Steps every day." I said, "Good. You need to do a four step." And he said, "Okay, not a problem." That was 3 weeks ago. So I asked him after a week, "How you doing on your four step?" He said, "Yeah, I need to write it. I'm thinking about it." And I said, "Thinking about doing your four steps like talking about having a baby. That ain't how it's done."
Yeah. Grab the pen.
Yeah.
Sit down with the book.
So
start writing.
He hasn't done it for the last couple of weeks. I've asked him each week if he's done it. He's still getting started on it. Hasn't done it. And now he calls me today and he's stuck again with another coincidence of, you know, bad things happening, you know, and I'm like, you know, you want to get unstuck? Then take the next indicated step.
How about you, Shelly?
Well, I got stuck. I'm actually semi-stuck right now, but I got really stuck.
Oh, perfect.
Like a year ago or so. Didn't want to go to meetings. Only went to like one meeting a week. And my sponsor said, you know, like Mark was saying, change your meetings. Go to different meetings. So I went to an entirely new meeting to me, an NA meeting actually.
And you dug it.
And I really liked it, and it helped a lot. Just changing that one meeting really helped sort of spark my interest in going back to my other meetings as
By
well.
By the way, are you going to that tomorrow?
No, because now I'm the secretary. I had to change that meeting again because I became the secretary of the other meeting.
Oh. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Oh, that's the Tuesday meeting.
Yeah, the Tuesday meeting.
So you're feeling stuck right now?
A little bit stuck right now. Like, I can't seem to get the program in my head when I need it. Like,
if you don't know what the program out of your head.
Like, I can't come up with a program solution to an issue. So I think part of it is I'm not willing to let go of the issue.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that is a program solution.
Right.
If you let go of it the way the program would say, then...
Then there's no issue.
It would be a program solution.
What are you doing to try to get unstuck?
Right now, I'm doing nothing. I'm just being honest.
You're enjoying it.
Well, it's not working real well. I wouldn't say it's working real well.
She let go of the trying to work on it part instead of the part.
I'm sitting in my own shit, but it's wonderful. And it's mine. And it's warm and it's comfortable for me.
Well, it's not that it's comfortable. It's just that I'm in a position where I'm afraid that if I let go of it, that the problem won't get solved.
Oh, it's because, a control issue.
Because God doesn't really work on this issue.
Of course not. God's probably never heard of this one before. Shelly found a new problem.
I'm sure he has. I'm just pretty sure that he doesn't give a shit.
I'm betting he does.
I don't know.
I'm betting he does as well. Although, you know what? I was talking with the sponsee the other night. We were talking about he had written a fear list. And this is a sponsee that, let me tell you, is not stuck by any... this guy is doing every single thing I tell him. And, like, when I tell him to do writing, he comes back, like, the next day with writing or 2 days. I mean, it's just...
Good.
He's blazing through stuff. Now, he was talking about, well, I don't know why I have this fear. I don't know why these things have happened to me. You know, I'm not sure why God is, you know, testing me this way. I go, well... You know, maybe the reason why you're having some of these issues is not that God can't do anything about it or doesn't want to, but for whatever reason, he's throwing challenges your way to make you stronger to handle other things. I'm like, because, you know, we don't know. We don't know. So it's like when Shelley says, I don't think God cares about this. Maybe God's the one that has thrown this issue at you to make you benefit from it.
What if God doesn't care about any of it?
Well, that's kind of a scary thought.
Why?
Because the foundation of my sobriety is that he does care whether I'm sober or not.
Okay.
Well, you have free will. God probably doesn't care either way if you're sober. Yeah. He'd like you to be sober, but you have free will. Yeah.
I had two guys show up at my door last week. 10:30 in the morning, knocked on the door. I opened the door up. They're in suits and ties, carrying their Bibles.
Yeah.
And their little a little booklet. And
did you invite them in?
I didn't. You know what I did? I had chairs out on the front, and when I went, came and sat out on the lawn with them.
Did you?
I did.
Were they Jehovah's Witnesses?
No, they weren't. They weren't. They were just traveling around talking about the Bible, and the guy started out by telling me that I realize how pitiful shape the world's in today and how scary it is. And I said, not really. I said, I don't know. I said, I think it's pretty cool. The sky was ice blue with a couple puffy clouds in it. I said, look at that. I said, how can you be having a bad day? Look at that. And I'm talking to the guy for about 5 minutes. We're talking, you know, there's two of them there, and I'm talking, and the other guy's talking, and he's looking, and I'm looking, and he looks at me and goes, how much time you got?
Nice.
I said, 26 years. He goes, I got 27 last month. I said, good for you. I said, that's great. He goes, yeah. He goes, I had a feeling. The other guy looked at us and said, do you guys have, like, the secret code between you or something?
Yeah. You guys have a handshake or something?
Yeah. So.
So how about you, Mark?
Yeah.
How do you get unstuck? Or get sponsees to be unstuck.
Well, getting sponsees to get unstuck is really difficult because I find there's a lot more resistance to taking direction now than there was when I showed up. When we showed up, I don't know, it was just a whole different thing. We showed up, there was a bottom. We were clear we hit it. We were clear it was low.
Yeah, and the last clear, time I came in, I was.
We were, you know, and I was real clear that I had to do whatever I was told to do if I was going to survive.
Right.
And I don't feel that survival instinct in people who come in today. Very rarely do I see somebody who comes in that has the need to survive and realizes that they're not going to unless they grab on with both hands.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really hard to get people. When I get stuck, I stay stuck for a while because, you know, it's comfortable to be miserable for a little while. And I call my sponsor. My sponsor gives me good direction, but we know what to do. I mean, I go to other meetings. I read books. I read a couple of more pages in the big book every day. You know, so I don't get stuck too often because I do that stuff pretty regularly anyway.
And do you refer to stuck as like being complacent?
Not really. I think stuck is where if I have a problem come up, and that problem comes up again, and it comes up again, and it comes up again, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. You know, it's like the shark theory. If a shark's not, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards, and if a shark swims backwards, it dies.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I don't like to stay in the same spot for too long. You know, so it's just. But a lot of times it's just going to different meetings, hearing different people share, calling people I don't usually call, you know, and hearing, and then always working with a newcomer.
I think the thing, too, when you talk about the word stuck, being stuck, and it talks about it in AA's book where it says, you know, we've stopped fighting anything or anybody. We have to, because when I think about being stuck, it's like I'm really trying to do something that's not happening, you know, and along with what, like, Shelley was talking about earlier, it's like, am I trying too hard to make it happen myself, and I need
living
to let
in
it
the
go
results.
So that I'm not fighting it? You know, like, when I feel like I'm stuck, I feel like I'm struggling. And if I'm struggling, I'm probably not doing a good job of letting it go.
It's not turning out the way I want it to. Yeah.
Shelley, what would your final words on the, I'm stuck! How do you get out of it? What would your final words be on that?
Oh, I would think you'd have to have willingness first. And that's probably the root of my problem is because I'm not exactly willing right now.
To get unstuck?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call on her to share it every meeting I'm in until she shares about it and gets unstuck.
And I'm going to say, I pass.
Can't keep doing that. That's not good for the newcomers.
And it would be good for the newcomers for me to barf all of the meeting?
I pass. Pass me the bottle.
It might be. You know, there might be a time a newcomer goes, wow, I can't believe someone could actually share like that in a meeting and like people don't think poorly about them.
I can't believe people with time actually have troubles.
Yeah.
See? What a service you would be doing.
Yeah.
What would your final words on it be, Mark?
Work with somebody else. If you're stuck, work with somebody else. That'll get you unstuck probably faster than anything.
That's actually a really good point. You know?
And you?
When we're having problems, you know what? And I hadn't thought along those lines, but that's really good, actually. You know, nothing... Well, it talks about it specifically to do with keeping you from drinking, but, you know, nothing works so well as working with another alcoholic.
Yep.
There's a lot of things you can do, and some of them got brought up, you know, letting go, not fighting it, switching. If what you're stuck with is you're feeling complacent and I don't really feel like going to meetings, make yourself go anyway, pick out some new ones. Meetings are like bars.
Yeah.
You go to the ones you like. The ones where they're not watering down the drinks.
Another thing that's really effective, call H&I and go get on a panel. Because all you got to do is go see people that are really, really new, and you get really, really grateful.
Yeah, you'll feel much, much, much better. Shirley, who are our friends back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other way meet.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. No, you made me lose my place. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. And you can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little town.
Awesome. We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com, and recovery101radio@hotmail.com. If you'd like to be on our crack advertising staff, you can... email us at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. And if you'd like to advertise, you can pretty much contact us any way you want. You can become a friend on Podomatic and do it. You can go to our Facebooks and do it. We'll take it however it comes. Mark, who are our friends online?
That would be intherooms.com.
.com.
You can go to our recovery101.net site.
Yep.
You can go down and you can find the ad...
and click it.
And click it, and it'll take you there. And then you can create a profile. Once you've created the profile, you can then enter the site, and you can go find speaker tapes and chat rooms and interact with a whole lot of other people in recovery.
Yes, you can.
You can go to Friends of Recovery 101 and listen to our show while you do all this. It is absolutely, positively free.
It's a bargain at thrice the price. We've also got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn serious.
Okie dokie. Try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Take care of you.